All right. I really appreciate being out here. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, for inviting me out and for all the hospitality. And I really love getting a chance to go out and spend time, especially. I hate flying in and flying out. We get invited to preach somewhere. It's been great being able to fellowship and spend time with as many people as I have and be able to talk. And I really like coming back here. It's been a few years. I haven't been in this facility, and it's been quite a while since I've been to Steadfast. It's nice seeing, one, all the old faces that I've met before, people that I know and have stayed strong and have stayed through all of the hardships and trials that this church has been through all the way up to this point. And it's also great to see all the newer faces and the people who have been added onto this church, and you continue to grow. And, praise God for all of that. This is awesome. It's exciting to be here, and it's exciting to be around a great group of people that loves the Lord. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak tonight and preach from the Word of God. Now, the sermon for this evening, the title is called Tried with Fire. And, well, what is tried with fire? What's tried with fire is your faith. And that's why we started in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as, a hall of faith. It's an exciting chapter. It's no secret, my favorite book of the Bible is the book of Acts because of all the actions. It's always excited me, and it's always something that just stirs me up. I love reading about all the great things that people of God have done in history in the past, right? And then if you're going to sum up all of Acts into one chapter, I think Hebrews 11 probably does a great job of that because it just goes through so many great people of God who have lived awesome lives, people that we look to, they're heroes of the faith, they're people that it's like, wow, it's amazing things that they've done in their life. But I want to make this point, I want to make this real clear, because if you think about it, this whole chapter is about faith. Yes, these people did amazing things, great things, but why did they do such things? Because they had faith. But is there anything special about them particularly? Is there any reason why any person in this room can't have the same measure of faith that they have? Is there any reason why you can't have faith like Abraham had faith? Is there any reason why you can't have faith like Moses had faith? But why are they being exalted? Why are they because of their faith? See, God makes it so that you can all have extremely exciting, fulfilling lives. You could be, if you live your life right, you could end up, at the end of your life when you enter into the presence of the Lord, where hopefully He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But why is it that we're reading about just a particular group of people? It's not just everyone. Why is it that these people, the faith of these people is being revered and exalted in God's holy word, in the word of God? Why is that? Because keeping that faith for your entire life is not an easy thing to do, because your faith will be tried. Because trials come, because temptations come, because testing is going to come on your faith. And testing has already come on this church multiple times. Testing has been coming on many churches, and you know what? Yeah, on all churches who are going to be serving the Lord fervently and getting a lot of work done. Trials are going to come your way, and you need to be ready for them. You need to be prepared for them, and I hope that your life will be defined as someone who doesn't lose the faith, doesn't quit the faith, doesn't quit on the church when things are getting rocky and kind of tumultuous, but you could stay with it and say, you know what? I'm going to have that faith, and say, well, what's the faith? Faith, the Bible says here in verse number 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you walk by faith, you're walking by what the Word of God says, even if sometimes you're seeing things that may not make sense, it may not always be adding up. There's a lot of confusing things in the world. The Bible says that Satan is the author of confusion. And he's going to try to do everything he can to upend your faith and to get you to stop serving the Lord. But we need to maintain that faith, that hope in things that you don't see every day, but you know is real. You know it's true. I mean, isn't this why we go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unsaved world? Isn't that why you take time out of your schedule to go out and preach to people? You've never seen hell before. You don't know what it looks like. You haven't seen physically Jesus Christ die on the cross. You haven't seen those things with your eyes. We all have faith that's real, and it's real faith. It's reality. And we know that people are going to be going to hell, so we do it anyways because you're walking by faith. And we need to maintain this understanding whenever, you know, especially it's easy when things are great. It's easy when everybody's in unison, everything's going wonderful, you know, we're plowing ahead, there's no obstacles, right? That's the easy time. But it's when something pops up in your way, when you've got people attacking, when you've got obstacles, when you have people trying to put fear into you, when you got people trying to stop the good work, when you got people slandering and telling lies, when you got all kinds of other nonsense going on, basically Satan attacking the church, trying to get you to stop doing what you're doing, that's when you need to keep the faith, because those are the trials of your faith. Verse number 39, if I jump down there in Hebrews 11, verse number 39, Bible says, "And these all," so it gives this whole list of people, and there's various things about their faith, right? Abraham obeyed God, not seeing the land, not knowing where he was going, and he just kind of took that on faith. And there's a lot of stories like that where people act on faith and do things on faith. But then there's other examples given where people, their faith is tried in a different sense because of something may seem very difficult for them to do. I mean, even just picking up and moving, that might be kind of a difficult thing for people to do. Picking up and moving where God wants you to be. Picking up and moving to be part of a good church, to be closer to a good church, to be able to invest more of your time serving the Lord, that takes faith. But there's a summary here at the end of the chapter. It says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." They didn't receive the promise in their lifetime. They lived an entire lifetime in many places, in many cases, especially near the end of that chapter, you see people who have experienced very bad things, very evil things at the hands of others in this lifetime. And you say, well, what good was it? I mean, they didn't even receive the promise. Yeah, not yet. It says, "These all, having not received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." There is still the promise that when they live by faith, that they are going to receive a reward based on their faithfulness. There is a judgment seat of Christ that's coming, that we're going to stand before God and all of our works are going to be tried, and whatever is tried through the fire of your works, of what you've done in this life, you're going to receive a reward for those things. So when everybody is living their life here, you say, well, man, that doesn't sound like fun being sawn asunder. That doesn't sound like sun. This doesn't sound like fun being slain with the sword, wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. It doesn't sound like very much fun. It's not very much fun. Why did they do it? Faith. These are trials of the faith. But this is where the rubber meets the road. How real is your faith? And God likes to know how real your faith is. He wants to know, well, how much do you really believe this to be true? He tempted Abraham in Abraham's faith. And this is one reason why we read about Abraham. Abraham was promised a child, son of promise, Isaac, right? Abraham was, and Abraham and Sarah were both well past age of having children. And he was the miracle baby, right? And look at verse 17, Hebrews 11. What Abraham did by faith, Abraham, when he was tried means tested. His faith is tested. He offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And if you remember the story, right, God had already made the promise, hey, I'm gonna bless your seed. You're gonna have, your seed is gonna be like the sand by the seashore. It's gonna be like the stars, innumerable. You are gonna have these people, nations that come out of your loins, that's gonna come out. Not just, obviously he was promised with the coming of Jesus Christ, but also just to have this great multitude of people that spawned from Abraham himself. And God made that promise to him. And when Isaac was given to him, after he's been well past age, there is a fulfillment of one of the promises right there. God promised him to have a son. And he came through with that and came true to his word and gave him Isaac. And then he says, okay, here's what I want you to do, Abraham. You need to take Isaac up. And you need to offer him up for a burnt offering unto me. Now, how is his faith being tried? His faith is being tried because does he really believe that God was going to do what he promised to do? Was God really going to be able to make his seed like the sand by the seashore? through Isaac, which he already promised him to. And when his faith was tried with something extremely difficult, he passed the test. Why? Because he was willing to do it. Why was he willing to do it? Because he had faith that God was able to raise him even from the dead. Because Abraham knew, hey, if God's telling me to do this, I know God can't contradict his word. I know that the promises of God are so sure that if God's telling me to do this, that he'll just raise him up from the dead, because he already, one, he knew the gospel. He understood the gospel. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. The gospel has been preached unto Moses. People, I just preached this on Wednesday night in our Bible study. You know, people were well aware of the resurrection well before Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. I mean, that's why you had the sects of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees did. People knew that there was going to be a resurrection. You can read the book of Job. Job knew that he was going to see the Lord in his flesh. He said, even though the worms are going to eat of his flesh, he says, yet I know that I will see the Lord in my flesh. He knew there was going to be a resurrection of the dead. So this isn't something brand new. This isn't something new to the New Testament. It's always been there. Abraham understood that God was capable of raising up Isaac from the dead if he carried out that act of offering up his son as a sacrifice. But when God saw that he was going to go through with it, he stopped him, but he passed the test. He was tried, and he passed. And we want to make sure that when our faith is tried, that we can pass. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 6. And this is where the title of the sermon comes from, is from this passage. Bible reads in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And the Bible talks about the trial of your faith there in verse number 7, much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, people put a high price on gold to be like, oh man, if you got a bar of gold, man, you're getting like a big old bag of gold or whatever, how much money that would be worth. And so a lot of people spend their time seeking after that gold and being like, man, if I had that, my life would be so much easier, and I could have this, and I could have that, and I could have maids clean my house, and I could eat whatever I want, I could do all this other stuff. And people just seek after that, after the things that really doesn't matter at all. And making your life just a little bit more comfortable in this lifetime is so short. And it's so meaningless, and it's so empty, because once people have that, here's the problem that they have, is they think that, oh man, all my problems are going to be solved. No, you just introduce a whole bunch more problems. Because it doesn't really provide happiness. You're not going to be content if you think that, well, if I make X amount of money, then I'll be happy, then everything will be great. No, it won't. Because you're just going to want more. Because you're going to realize that when you attain whatever level you think is going to make you happy and you're not happy, you're going to think, well, then I must just need a little bit more then. Because you're seeking the wrong source for your joy. You're seeking the wrong source for your happiness to be content. You're not going to be content. You're not going to have that joy. You're not going to have that peace and comfort without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's where you're going to get your peace. That's where you're going to get your contentment. It has nothing to do with how much money you have. But the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith is much more precious than of that gold, though it be tried with fire. But you want your faith to be found unto praise and unto honor and unto glory when Jesus Christ comes back. We need to be mindful of these things every day, especially during the hard times, especially during those moments when things don't seem to be going all well and it's just roses every day of your life. Now, when you think about this, I was thinking about this, I get a little, I don't want to call it deep. It's not really deep, but and turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. You think about your life ultimately boils down to a series of decisions that you make, right? Every day you wake up, you're making decisions. Some are really small and insignificant, right? Well, what am I gonna eat for breakfast? What am I, you know, you make decisions. How are you gonna spend your time? You're gonna go to work. You're gonna, you know, come home. You're gonna do these different chores. Everything that you do in life, it's a series of decisions. You make it. You're deciding all the time what you're going to do, what you're gonna say, and you know, a lot of them are menial and seemingly relatively insignificant. But there's always moments. And I'm sure you could think back on various moments in your life that are more momentous, more monumental, very important decisions that are going to end up, that could potentially end up impacting the rest of your life. These are the times you want to make sure, especially, that your faith is strong, that you have that faith, that you're going to be thinking about and making the decisions based on the things that you can't see. Because oftentimes you're making decisions, especially the big decisions, you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know the end of that, which is what makes it harder. Sometimes it's harder to make decisions, and you're thinking, man, what would happen? What would happen if I picked up and moved my family to Hearst, Texas? What would happen if I did that? You know, people who live far away, well, what's going to, I don't know, man. Am I going to be able to work? What am I going to do? And you're thinking about these things, and it could change the course of your life forever. But you need to have faith, knowing and analyzing your decision-making and saying, is what I'm doing going to be in the will of God? Is what I'm doing matching up with what the Bible is telling me to do, what the Bible is instructing me, what God has said I should and should not be doing? If I'm following all of these things, then I should be making my decisions along that path. And if it's going to help my spiritual walk with God, then it sounds to me like it's the right choice to make. Because that faith is way more precious than gold. It's way more precious than the physical things. And I'll tell you what, I'd much rather be really strong in my spirit and in my faith and my walk with God than have a little bit of extra dollars in my pocket or my bank account. Who cares about that? I mean, really, who cares about that? But there's decisions that you make, they do and can impact the rest of your life. I think of the most simple example is just even getting saved, right? I mean, that impacts the whole rest of your life, your whole rest of your eternity. But it's a decision. You have to choose whether or not you're going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to choose to put your faith and trust on Him. That impacts the rest of your life. There's plenty of other decisions that come along in people's lives, and they do also impact. They could potentially impact the rest of your life. There's decisions that people face when they're tempted with sin, meaning fornication or adultery. Making the wrong choice there can definitely have a big, serious impact on the whole rest of your life. Whether it be getting a disease, whether it be, you know, having a child with someone out of wedlock, or, you know, even worse, through adultery, you know, these things can happen. And can just change the entire course of your life. You need to be strong in your faith so that these things don't hamper you, don't end up making bad decisions that you can't undo them. That's why I was saying, you know, our life is just ultimately a series of decisions, because once your decision is made, you can't undo that. It's done. And when you're going to look back on your life, it's ultimately going to be, well, what have I done? And what you've done is based on the decisions that you've made in your life. Now, are you making those decisions based on faith or based on your flesh? And it's, you know, that's oftentimes what it's going to boil down to, pretty much every time. You're in James chapter 1. Now, there's different temptations or trials that you will face in your life. Sometimes you're tempted with sin. And that's what we're going to see in James chapter 1. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It means you endure, but you don't give into it. Right? You're able to endure and get through it without giving in. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is a reward. It's a crown that you're going to win by enduring temptation. The Bible says in verse 13, then, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And this is explaining unto us, you know, when you're tempted with a sin, when you're tempted to do something sinful against the word of God, God isn't the one that's trying to get you to sin. And this is an important point. You have to understand this, because we're going to see in my next point that God does tempt people, that God does try people, but it's not with sin. He tempts your faith in other ways, in others, not with sin. Like when he tried Abraham's faith, he wasn't getting Abraham to do something sinful. He was just trying to see how much does he actually believe the words that God had given him. He wasn't trying to get him to say, okay, well, if you really believe me, Abraham, then you're going to go and commit adultery with your handmaid. That wasn't God tempting him to do that. God doesn't tempt people with that sin. See, it's our own flesh, our own lust, our own desires is where that temptation comes from. And we need to be able to stand fast through that and not succumb unto the pressures of your sinful flesh trying to get you to do things that are wicked. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 66. I'm going to read for you from 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Because while God may not be the one that's trying to get you to actively sin, he also may, in a sense, I was going to say leave you, because this is what the Bible says, he'll leave you to see what's in your heart, to see, well, what are you going to do? Right? He may not just obstruct something happening where a temptation could come your way. For example, if some lady were to try to entice a man that's already married, you know, he's not just necessarily going to just prevent that from happening. Now, sometimes maybe he will just prevent that opportunity from even happening. But other times he may just leave you to just be like, okay, well, let's see what he's going to do. He's not the one making that happen. And this is what I'm trying to express here. But he's going to see, well, what are you going to do? And we see he did this with Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32. The Bible talks about, now if you remember the story of Hezekiah, you know, it was pronounced unto him that he was going to die. And then he turns to the Lord, and he's weeping, he's saying, God, you know, please, you basically spare my life, give me some more time. And God hears his prayer, and he gives him 15 more years, right? Well, then these ambassadors, these people from Babylon end up showing up. They hear about what happened, and they come in, and he starts showing them all the wealth, and he's kind of lifted up in pride, and they're like, oh yeah, look at all this stuff. And he just shows them everything, and then that brings judgment on Hezekiah because he was lifted up with pride and he wasn't giving God the glory. And he, this is explained in 2 Chronicles 32. I'm going to read this for you. The Bible says in verse number 31, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him. So God wanted to see, well, what's Hezekiah going to do in this situation? That he might know all that was in his heart. So this is the way that you prove your faith is by your actions, by your decisions. Right? That's, you know, it's easy. Again, like I said, when things are going great, you know, you have people saying, I'm a lifelong supporter of Steadfast Baptist Church. It's all, you know, I'm going to be here. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. I'm going to do all this. It's easy to say when everything's going great and there's no problems. But you know when it's proven? When the obstacles come, when the opposition comes, then we're going to see what's really in your heart. Are you really with it? Are you really going to serve God? You know, people might say, you know, if other people fail me, I'm still going to keep serving God. Well, what happens when someone fails you? You know, I hope that doesn't happen, but what happens if there's a man of God that fails you? Are you going to stay with it, or are you just going to be like, oh, well, forget all this then? Verse number 25 there in a second. We're going to get to Psalm 66 in just a second. The Bible tells us here, explains the story a little bit earlier on. It says, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So he got a little bit of mercy. He did repent. But my point is this. It has to do with making the decisions. right? Hezekiah made a bad decision, and he failed. Now, he did end up getting right with God, and he repented, and he was shown a little bit of mercy, but that decision had ramifications because now judgment's coming. He can't go back and undo that. He made a poor decision that has lasting ramifications, and it was on his children. Now God's judgment is going to come, and he's like, well, hey, it's as long as there's peace in my day. It's a horrible attitude to have, especially for a parent. Psalm 66, now we already mentioned, we saw from James, you know, God's not going to tempt you to get you to sin, but he may observe what you're going to do. He does observe what you're going to do. But there's also times where God brings the temptations or the trials to you, not with sin, but just the trials to test your faith. Psalm 66, verse number 8, the Bible says, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now, a lot of people may not understand how silver is tried and what that means for silver being tested. But when it comes to metals and it comes to refining metals especially, they're tried through fire. Now, with an inanimate object, with silver, that's great, that's fine. But you know what? You have to turn the heat up really high in order to get that silver to melt, in order to really test that silver and see how many impurities are in it. Because you're going to see, is this a pure silver, is this not? Hey, when that's tried, it's tried in the fire. And you know what? When your faith is really tried, it's not just with the little things. Right? That's not really going to get deep down in the heart to see, well, how strong is your faith really? It's going to be tried like silver's tried in the fire. You're going to have to crank the heat up really high to really get down to see, well, how strong is your faith really? How much do you really believe what's going on? Or what you believe, what you are claiming to believe. Do you really believe the word of God? Do you really trust in his promises? Do you really trust that if you do what's right by God, then at the end, in the very, very end, it's going to work out best for you and for everybody else? Because if you do, then you'll be, even at the worst of times, you're going to stick with the word of God. So verse 10 there says that, you know, God has tried us, as silver has tried. Verse 11, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. He's saying God did this. God brought the affliction. God brought these things that come to pass to test of faith. Verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. God's bringing judgment on believers. You know, if judgment begins at the house of God, he says, we went through fire and through water. But there's a positive, there's a good outcome. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. All the great trials, all the great tribulations, when you can maintain and get through those, are all going to end up working out way better for you in the end. And a great example of that is Job. And turn, if you would, to Job chapter 23. That's also important while you're turning to Job 23. It's also important to understand that trials can last a long time. It's not, you know, sometimes they might happen and be pretty quick, but sometimes those trials can last extended periods of time. And again, that's going to be a greater test of your faith is, well, are you strong enough to go through a day? Yeah, okay, maybe you're strong enough to go through a day, but can you remain faithful if it's lasting, you know, extended periods of time? Instead of, like Pastor Mejia was talking about yesterday, you know, fainting in your mind. You don't want to get weary and faint, be weary and well-doing, and just faint and just give up. Okay, that's the last thing you need to do. You need to stay with it because in the end, God will bless you for your faithfulness. And not only are you blessed, but what a great testimony that is. How much more are you going to be used by the Lord if you're able to go through the hardest of times and just stay through it, and retain your integrity, and be able to stay faithful unto the Lord, no matter what else is going on around you, and say, I am still serving God until the day I die. How much more then is that going to be impactful on the people that you talk to, on the lives, and other people that see what you've gone through, and can praise God through your faithfulness? This is what gave the honor, and that's why the people in Hebrews 11 were exalted. It's because they had that level of faith to be able to stay through it to the end. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 8 for you. You're in Job 23. Deuteronomy 8, 2, the Bible says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." God brought the children of Israel 40 years through the wilderness before bringing them into the promised land. It says, "to humble thee and to prove thee." So he's testing them. Why is he testing them? Because they failed when they sent in the spies and they brought back the 10 brought back the evil report. And they were all scared, "Oh, we can't do this," right? So God says, "Okay, you need to be humbled then, and I'm going to prove you to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no." Say, are you really serious about this? Do you really believe in my word? Do you really trust in me? Do you really believe that I could fight your battles for you? Do you really believe that? He brought them through the wilderness for 40 years. It says in verse number 3, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger." He allowed you to hunger. He allowed the children of Israel to go without food. He allowed them to feel that and to go through that. It says, "And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." That's a great lesson to learn. You know what? A lesson like that to learn is worth going hungry for a little while. If it really sinks into your head and you get to realize, wow, if I just follow God, if I just obey God, if I could just have faith in his word that where he's going to lead me, if I just follow him, everything will work out for me. It's worth going a little bit hungry for a while. And when you know the story, they're being led in the middle of the wilderness. They've got nothing. But what does God do? He feeds them with manna. He says, "I know there's nothing here. I know there's nothing for you. I know you don't have ways to make new shoes for yourself because I've got you wandering around. And when the cloud departs off the tabernacle and moves, it's time for you to get up and go." Showing them to just rely on him, that everywhere that he takes them, though it may not be easy, it's not, he didn't just roll out the red carpet for them everywhere that they went. You know, everything was just great, and the heathen had fans. They got these palm leaves, and they're going, "Oh, children of Israel, come on through." That's not how it was at all. It was a lot harder than that. To the point to where people are going, "Oh, man, what, you bring us out here to kill us? Man, there's nothing to drink. Man, there's nothing to eat. Man, I wish we had chicken. I wish we had some food. I wish we had something else to eat besides this manna that's miraculous food that God gave us to sustain us." Great lesson. Hey, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, that's how you live. Job 23, when you're tried, you may think that God's not there with you. You may feel like that. If a lot of bad things keep happening, you might be going, "Well, where's God? Where's God in all this?" You may just be going through a trial. Hezekiah, it's not that God didn't love Hezekiah. He gave him more years. You know what? He took a step back and just said, "You know, I'm going to see what he's going to do." And God might just want to see how real is your faith. So when it feels like God's not there, that's the exact time when your faith really needs to kick in, because that is the trial of your faith. When it feels like God's not with you, but you're like, "No, I'm going to do this anyways, because I know it's right." And too many people take the short-term view of, "Oh, well, I just started coming here, and then all this bad stuff started happening because there's protesters out here, and they're coloring rainbows on the sidewalk, and I don't know if I should come back to this church because, I mean, it just happened 1 week after I started coming here. Maybe that's a sign I shouldn't be here." No. How about you have a little bit of faith and read the Word of God and see what the Bible's telling you about this stuff and say, "Well, you know what? No, this is right." And if the world's going crazy, the world's going to go crazy anyways. The world is crazy. But the Word of God is true. And if you're going to have your faith in the Word of God, then have your faith in the Word of God. Walk by the Word of God. And Job is this great example of someone who felt like God is not there. Someone who went through all kinds of sadness and grief and troubles and trials. But Job is someone who actually came through all right. He did retain his integrity. I mean, even his own wife was telling him, curse God and die. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. His friends came. They started to comfort him, and then they just turn on him and just start going like, man, what were you doing, Job? Your children must have been wicked. You know, you're wicked. What's that? You got some sin? Come on, Job. Spill the beans. And you read, you know, he went through a lot. He had nobody on his side. He still maintained his faith with God. We get a little bit of insight into where Job is at in Job 23. When he's being tried, his faith is being tried, he's being tested. Verse number one, the Bible says, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He's talking about finding God to be able to just lay out his cause before him. Because he feels like he's not there. He feels like he's just being ignored. He feels like he's just here and where's God? That's just how he feels inside. It doesn't mean he doesn't know that God's there. It doesn't mean that he doesn't know and have faith in the Lord. It just is just kind of where he's coming from, saying, you know, because he's not fully understanding what's going on. He's not understanding why he's going through everything he's going through. Verse 5, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. He would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. And remember, what is faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. You can't see him. I can't see God on my left hand. I can't see him on my right hand. I know he's working. I can't see him. And that's where your faith has to come in. You have all kinds of bad things going on. I don't see God in my life. All I see is trouble and turmoil and sadness and grief. I don't see God. Make your decision off faith. Knowing the word of God is true. Verse 10. He just got done saying, I can't see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. God knows my way. God knows what I'm doing. God knows the way I live. God knows everything about me. He knows the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And Job knew this. He said, you know what? I know that I'm going to come forth as gold. Why? Because he's maintaining his faith. He's saying, I know that the word of God is true no matter what else is happening. I know I'm going to come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. He's saying, I haven't stopped following the Lord. And he knows this. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What a great example Job is. And remember, through your hardest times, through your hardest trials, when you've got people attacking you and coming after you and whatever, right? Coming after your church, coming after you individually, whether it be family members, whether it be, you know, maybe one day the government or whoever, you know, just God haters in general, anyone, doesn't matter who it is. If you know, hey, I know I'm doing what's right by God's word. And that's a great place to be. Remember Job. Remember Job's faithfulness. He stayed with it to the end. And you know what? In the end, when you know the book of Job, God blesses him. God gives him 10 more children. And God basically doubles everything that he had. He gave him a double portion and blessed him for his faith. And that on top of whatever Job, I'm sure, has in heaven or is going to receive at the judgment seat of Christ for that faithfulness. And it's that faith, that knowing in the unknown, in the unseen. God haters out there, they're always going to be speaking evil against the people of God. And you need to be able to get used to having false accusations thrown at you, thrown at your pastor. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, it's going to happen. It's going to come. Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now again, the key word there is falsely. right? Because we ought to be living above reproach. We ought to be living in a way where, you know, if people are making accusations, they should be ashamed because those accusations aren't true. But you know what? That doesn't, just because you're living right doesn't mean that the accusations aren't going to come your way. They'll probably come your way even more. Because if they don't have anything to pin on you, then all they have to do is lie. That's all they have left. But the Bible tells us how we should deal with that. Jesus said how we should deal with that. The next verse says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why would I be glad when people are lying about me? It says, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're in good company. You know, trials may come even to the point of imprisonment. You need to be ready for that. We're getting into darker days, not lighter days. I believe we're really close to, you know, to the return of Christ, just in general. Personally, I don't know, obviously I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but we're not seeing the world getting more holy and more righteous. If it doesn't change our job, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing, and you know what, whatever happens, happens. We're going to serve the Lord no matter what, but I don't see it getting better. I see things getting worse. And I see persecution coming ahead. Your faith may be tried harder than it ever has been before. You need to be ready for that. Decide, you know what? I do believe God's word. If I trust Jesus with my soul, how can I not just believe all the Bible? How can I not just live that way? Revelation chapter 2 warns the church then about people being cast into prison. Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. God says, hold your faith. You're cast into prison. You know what? Some of you might be put to death. Obviously, this was to that church, but you know what? No one's saying it can't happen in our days. And I don't think God's only going to give them the crown if they remain faithful, but not you. Of course, he's going to give you a crown too. Stay faithful. I see that it's about time here. I'm going to wrap things up. I'll close with this. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. As there's trials, as there's temptations, people are going to leave church. People are going to leave this church. People are going to leave Stronghold Baptist Church. People are going to leave Verity Baptist Church. People are going to leave Faith Word Baptist. Ask any of the pastors that are here, and even if you've been around long enough, you're going to understand, people are going to leave church. And you know what? While people leave church, people come to church too. There's people who join church. And one of the things that you're going to notice, you know, instead of getting so upset and sad when people just leave church, now look, it's not a good thing. I'm not saying we love seeing people leave church. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. But we're not going to, you know, dwell on that. You know, if someone's, that's between them and God. I mean, if someone's that weak in their faith, obviously we're here as a church to try to encourage one another and love one another and exhort one another and be here and be that encouragement to provoke one another into love and to good works. Like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, hey, that's why we're here, right? We're supposed to be here and be like, yeah, man, you're going through hard times. We're going through hard times. But you know, we're going to get through this together as a church. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here for you. But oftentimes you're going to find out is when people, you know, get out of church, it's many times it's for real silly reasons. I mean, if you can't handle the small things, what are you going to do when the big things come your way? And here's the thing, too, is that I believe that God tries churches. There's trials and temptations that not just individuals go through, but the whole church goes through. But here's a good thing about the trials and the temptations is that if you're doing what's right as a church, which I believe Steadfast Baptist Church is doing a great job, you come forth a lot better after the trials and tribulations than you were before. Because there's a purging. There's dross that goes away. There's definitely some people, you know, that I'm sure you're glad you don't have around anymore. And I'll name one of them. Just to trigger them a little bit more. Because this person has fun. I just found out the other day he made a video about me, which is funny because I don't really pay it. I don't follow like a lot of stuff in general. And I'm going to close on this. I'm done, Pastor Shelley. Just give me this last minute. I don't really get involved. And if you know me, you're not going to see me commenting all over the place. I don't get involved in the drama just in general. I support the work that's being done. And you know, people know that about me, but I don't just have to feel like everyone needs to know my opinion about everything, right? But so I found out about Seth Bookout, who apparently got really irritated with a sermon I preached about wicked people who are digging up evil. Because I called him out, and I didn't hear what he said. But when people get really upset like that and start flying off the rails, you hit some point. You cut through. So something that I said really must have been dead on to invoke such a response. But you know what? Idiots like that, you don't want them here. You don't want them here. You want some bozo like that coming to church, you know. So my point is, you know, when you go through trials, good things can happen. Because the future Bookouts, maybe they'll leave. Hopefully they'll leave. Right? Get out of here. This church is so much better after going through the trials. And you know what? Praise God that the people didn't cave in, that there were people here that had faith, that just because, you know, in the past someone in leadership was involved in some really bad sins, it didn't kill your faith. It didn't cause you to stop serving God because someone else failed. And you know what? Someone else might fail in your life, and would God that people could be strong and not succumb. But you know what? Everyone's a sinner, and man is going to fail you. If you have trust in man, of course they're going to fail you. But when the hard times come, stay with it. Stay faithful. Get through the trial. Get through the testing. Get through the tribulations that you face. And in the end, you're going to end up way better as a result. The trial process is not fun. No one enjoys going through that. But the outcome is so much better, and it's worth it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, this last verse, we'll read this passage, we'll be done. The Bible says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So it's not just for the Apostle Paul. Everyone that loves his appearing. And who's going to love his appearing? Those are doing, you know, that love Jesus. Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. Looking forward to that crown. Stick through the hard times. Get through. Remain faithful. Through all the other things that go on, stay faithful. Don't be intimidated. Don't be fearful of what the world can do unto you. Keep your eyes on the things of God and what God will do for you when you remain faithful. And the blessing that he's going to give you is way far outweighs anything that any man in this world can possibly do to you in this lifetime. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your words, for the instructions. Dear God, I pray that you please bless the rest of this conference. Bless Pastor Jimenez as he preaches this evening. And God, we love you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.